Welcome to Unhinged with your host, Teresa Romer, motivational speaker, fashion expert, and fashion guru.
Welcome. I'm Teresa Romer with my co-host, Michael Pierce.
Hello, hello.
So, it's been an interesting week.
Interesting
week. You know, today's topic is probably not going to be a real fun topic, but I think it's a topic that we need to talk about because it is so huge out there right now. I know y'all, what happened in Houston this past week has hit national news. It's all over the world. I know you know what I'm talking about, Michael. The Texas teenage girl, I think she was a senior in high school, who killed herself because of bullying.
I had not heard this. Okay, I'm clearly in a bubble. This is horrible. What happened?
It was huge. It was down in League City, south of Houston. But a little senior in high school had finally just had enough of cyberbullying, and she literally killed herself right there in front of her family.
Oh my God!
It was horrible. It's been all over the news. It's just devastating. But it's so sad to think that cyberbullying has become so huge. And kids are just taking their lives right and left because they can't take it. You know, I mean, like, we're all so excited to have the internet and what the internet brings, you know, and all of this social media that gets out there and happens. It's like we're all so hooked to it. But yet the internet has created cyberbullying too. And, you know, kids are just taking themselves, you know, they're taking their lives right and left every day.
I got to wonder, do you think that it's a new problem, because kids have been picking on each other and bullying each other for years? Do you think that's getting worse, or do you think it's just because of the technology, anonymity, there's more of it, or that it's getting harsher, or do you think that, you know, it's been the same all along?
Well, you know, and good question, because bullying has been around forever. I mean, mm-hmm. I grew up getting bullied all the time. I had a rare disease that caused one of my breasts not to grow, and the other one did grow. And so I was bullied in high school because I was a lifeguard, and you know, those kids would bully me and call me like big boob, little boob, and you know, and you know, my last name when I was little growing up was Muir, and so they'd call me, hey, manure Muir, you know. so I mean, like, I can remember as a child getting bullied face to face with people all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't on the internet because they didn't have the internet back then. Mm-hmm. I'm so old.
I'm right there with you. We didn't have phones back in my day. You wanted to bully somebody, you had to go to their face and say mean things. You didn't log in any computers, you whippersnappers. You insulted me to my face and I beat you up.
But I think the internet has allowed it to get worse because people are 10 foot tall and bulletproof behind a keyboard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so back in the days when I would get bullied, it really would have to happen face to face. And a lot of people didn't have the courage to bully each other because they didn't have the courage to do it face to face. You know what I'm saying? And so I think the internet has allowed it to get worse because, like I said, people behind a keyboard are horrible.
Oh, it's true.
You know, and you know that. I mean, like, you know, in these past couple years, you know, with my closet being so famous and everything, I myself have been cyberbullied a lot, and so much that I've had to take restraining orders out, you know, against people and so on and so forth to stop them from harassing me on the internet. So I think technology has helped make it a worse problem. Have you ever experienced bullying or cyberbullying?
Oh my God, I've been loved my entire life. Everybody loves me. No one's ever said an unkind word about me. Pata! I pity you, manure. I can't believe somebody called you manure. That just cracks me up. Of course, I was a gay boy growing up in closeted East Coast America. Yeah, they had lots of hateful things. It reaffirmed that I do not belong here with these people. I am not like you people. Get me the hell out of this town. Find me a town that at least has two stoplights and go.
So you're saying that they actually bullied you to your face?
Yeah, I had it. But I mean, I don't know that I would say that I was any worse than anybody else. I mean, I had I got bullied and I made fun of, and I had dark periods in my teen years, and I remember being suicidal because of being made fun of, and people, you know, calling me gay, and I didn't want anybody to know. And I just wonder if what these kids are going through today is similar to what I went through as a teenager. And I think a lot of us can sympathize with what you're saying. I don't know what the answer to it is. It certainly seems, I think you're right, that it's gotten easier to do and that they're more bold with what they say. Like, they, you know, you should die and we should kill you. Like, that sort of violence aspect, I think that's new because people don't have the guts to say that kind of stuff to your face.
Right. And these kids were actually, you know, saying to her through the internet and through on her Facebook page and stuff that she needed to kill herself.
Yeah.
You know, and so that they literally, you know, you're so ugly, you need to kill yourself, you know, and so, and then she finally did it, you know, and I don't know if these kids, you know, a year ago, a good friend of mine lost her daughter. She was 16 years old. She was extremely famous. She was a cheerleader. She was gorgeous. She had a million friends. I mean, like, she had everything in the world going for her. I mean, like, and talented, and right there in her house, her mom, who was my friend, cooking dinner downstairs, told her other child to go get her sister because dinner was ready, went upstairs, found their daughter hanging, she had hung herself from the ceiling fan. Right there, while mom was downstairs cooking dinner. And I went to the funeral, and the church was so full, and this is a huge church up here in the Woodlands. Mm-hmm. It was the Methodist church, but that church could not hold all of the people that showed up for that child's funeral.
Isn't it amazing how many people come together after their death that you wish would have been there when they were alive to speak up and say? Because I think that's part of the problem, too, because a friend of mine has a teenage daughter who's going through this, and it's in person, not online. They're boys that are sort of taunting her, and I think it's an ex-boyfriend. But the part of the problem is the perception that all the people stand around watching this guy say these insulting and hurtful things, sit in silence and sort of condone it, makes it seem much bigger and much worse for that person. Whereas if we all would speak up and say something, you know, maybe that would stop or you wouldn't feel as alone. I kind of wonder what the answer is, though.
Right. I was watching the interview with the father a couple nights ago because they were having a vigil, you know, for all of her friends and stuff. And the father during that interview said the exact same words that my friend said a year ago. And it was just like, we didn't know. We did not know she was going through this. And that's what's really mm-hmm. sad is because my friend that lost her daughter a year ago, she said that, you know, in church, I was holding her and she was crying so hard. And, you know, I myself have lost a child. So mm-hmm. I know that pain, but she looked at me and she said, Teresa, I never knew that she was going through any of this. So that's the other part that I don't understand is how a child doesn't even come to her parents and tell her parents what she's going through.
You're hiding that in shame. They're so ashamed and the world feels so overwhelming that you didn't want to disappoint your parents or didn't want to disappoint your friends or family. That I'm sure they didn't want them to know.
You think?
Yeah. I bet you. I kind of wonder if, like, the way to change it, like, I know that there were laws looking at making it no longer possible for people to anonymously create accounts and to cyberbully, so there'd be some transparency on who you are and what you say. I've also seen instances where people have gone to the courts and try to use the courts as a way to resolve this and put liability on the parents mm-hmm.
right.
of the bullies. And right. I don't know, that doesn't feel right either, because just like the parents of the victim, I imagine the parents of bullies probably don't have any idea that their child is bullying as well. So,
But it also makes you wonder, like, I was raised, I guess, different. I mean, like, I could never have fathomed to be that mean to someone.
Whether I have to disagree. I grew up one of five kids. I could be really mean. Yeah.
Really?
Oh my gosh, they picked on me. My brothers and sisters picked on me horribly. Well, you learn to pick back.
Yeah.
I think this is an extension of that. This is a leap beyond that. I wouldn't want to be that person either, and I could imagine being that person, but I could see how it happens very easily.
Really? See, I mean, like, I could be mean to my brothers and sisters. I mean, like, that's a sibling rivalry thing. That, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I get that. But we were taught to respect people, you know, and respect other kids. And I mean, like, we were just raised with morals and values that I just couldn't, because even when I was being picked on, I was like, how can they be so mean to me? Why did their parents, why did their parents let them grow up this way?
That's interesting. You felt sorry for the people who are attacking. Like, what is wrong with you? Most people who are being attacked just internalize that and think, oh, what is wrong with me? Why are they picking on me? And they keep that in. And I think that's where the dangerous form that comes in. If you're able to come back and say, there is something wrong with you that you were saying these things at me. Like, there is something, you are touched in the head, you are very lonely, show me where the bad man hurt you. Like, if you're able to project that back at the attacker, you're going to survive.
I do. I mean, to this day, that's how I think. You know, when I'm being attacked, whether it be on the internet or whatever, I kind of look at them and go, what is your problem? You know, what is so bad in your life that you have to lash out at someone like me who has not done, I have not hurt you. I have not done anything to you. So why are you being mean to me? I mean, like, there's something wrong with you. That's how I look at it.
Well, it's clearly that's the case. They're projecting whatever their own issues are on you. But exactly. As a teenager, you're not equipped to see those sort of things. And when somebody says things that attack the way that you look or your family or things that are personal to you, that seems like your whole world. And you feel, oh my gosh, there must be something wrong with it. There's such pressure to fit in that I can see why that could be completely devastating.
See, I guess I was, I think I grew up different.
We need that formula, how you grew up.
I've always had so much confidence in I am who I am. And if you don't like it, I don't care. I mean, like, I don't even know where that came from, because I don't think my brothers and sisters were that way.
That's good.
But somehow I grew up with that confidence, and you know, I've tried to teach my children to have that same kind of confidence, to, you know, walk to the beat of your own drum. Don't give a crap what other people think. As long as you're not breaking the law or hurting anyone, live your own life. It's your life. That's the one thing that you got from God, was your life, you know, so live it how you want to live it.
I actually get really worried for my kids as they get older. And it's actually a big fear of mine of when the kids get to these ages, because they're going to get picked on and they're going to get made fun of and they're going to get teased because they have two dads or any number of things. And so I always work really hard now while the kids are still really young, when there's somebody that's different, to use it as an opportunity to say, isn't different being kind of interesting? That's kind of neat. The things that make us different are make us special. Try to empower that language of being different isn't a bad thing. But I worry about how they're going to handle that and how they're going to navigate that. And unfortunately, it's going to be a sad rite of passage for them as well. They're going to, and it wouldn't matter if they had two dads or a dead mom. There's always something, somebody's going to make fun of you. All of us have had these nicknames that we grew up where people teased or made fun of us. It's just a matter of whether or not we were able to get past it. We were able to confront the attacker. Or like you, you had the strength and the resolve to know, just because you call me blue doesn't make me a Smurf. That just makes you
exactly.
Like a bitter person with right. Eye vision problems. Like,
right. But, you know, on that note too, having two dads or having two moms is so much more socially acceptable now than it was when you grew up as a child, right? Yeah. And I think also what helps, like, with you trying to teach your children is, number one, you can point out famous people like Ellen DeGeneres, you know, and she has a female partner and they have children. And so you can always say to your child, well, look, and look at that famous person, and they've got two mommies and they've got two daddies. Mm-hmm. And that helps, I think, you know, but yeah, you're right. But I think also what helps too is, and this is what I love about you, is you have a person that lives with you and she used to be a he.
Yeah. I have a lot of transgender friends.
Right. No, but what I think what is great is that transgender friend lives with you guys. Mm-hmm. And so your kids actually get to see that person too and experience how being different is so okay. And you know, I mean, I think it's just great that, and I also have a lot of transgender friends, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying, I think that's awesome that person lives with you, and that helps also in teaching your children that it's okay.
Well, one of the things that helped me feel better when I was feeling kind of isolated back home was that there is a world bigger than the one that you're in. And I think a lot of kids who are getting attacked or bullied, when they think that this world they're in is their entire world, it makes you feel easily prone to those sort of attacks. And so I like to expose our kids to all different kinds of people. And right now, our circle of friends are a lot of wealthy white Americans. And I want them to have a bigger circle of friends. So we have a diverse color of friends and a diverse socioeconomic status of our friends, because I think they need to see that, you know, not everybody lives the same way that we do. I think that's how you grow and learn.
Right. No, you're so right. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what color your skin in. It doesn't matter. You know, whether you're transgender, it doesn't matter if you're gay. To me, it just doesn't matter. And, you know, just like this weekend, you know, I opened up my home for a music video to be shot in my home. And I had over 100 African-American people, you know, in my house. And
as you do on a weekend.
but it was, you know, people are like, wow, you know, and I'm like, I don't see color. You know,
you get along with every type. You can fit along anywhere. You can go into a grocery store and find somebody to talk to, or at a gala, which is something I love about you. I can prop you anywhere in Houston, and you're suddenly like become best friends with someone, which I love that. Like that's genuinely true about you. That's not true about a lot of people.
But you know, I think what also helped on that too is, as growing up, my parents were foster parents, and so I grew up with every race of children in my house. Like,
I didn't know that.
Yes, yes, yes. We would have an Asian Asian baby, or we'd have a little African American baby. I mean, like, I grew up being taught that color didn't exist, you know, and we just loved everybody. And so I think, and like I said, I guess I was raised differently, or I don't know. It's just, you know.
That's lovely. I didn't know that you had foster children in your family. Was that harder for you growing up, getting to know these like pseudo brothers and sisters, and then they would leave?
Yes. Cry. I mean, like you would get attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, I remember we had a little African-American baby. Her name was Chrissy. And we got her like when she was like 3 days old or 5 days old or something. And we had her for quite some time, and then her mom wanted her back.
Ooh.
That was hard. That was hard. Yeah. So, but like I said, that's the one thing I love about you and how you are.
I couldn't be a foster parent. I couldn't do it.
Oh, no, I can't. No, I couldn't do it either. I mean, like, just growing up the way I did and having foster kids, I think it was a great experience, but I myself could not be a foster parent. Couldn't do it.
Now you adopt Louboutins, so it's all good. You find wayward shoes and you collect them into that closet of yours. That's what you do.
Well, somebody's got to do it. Yeah,
I should just sign that says that, like the foster home for like wayward Louboutin.
Yeah, but it's like I was telling the rapper that did his music video here. I was telling his manager, because she was quite enamored with this closet, you know, and she's like. She was like, oh, my God. And I'm like, yeah, but the part that you don't realize is everything in this closet eventually gets donated to different charities so that they can raise money, you know. And she's like, wow, I don't know anybody that does that. And I'm like, well, I do, you know. So I said, it's all mine, but it's only mine temporarily, you know.
And that's a good view of things in general in life about you, though. Like, you don't really get attached to things. You enjoy them, and then you pass them on so others can enjoy them. That's a real gift. Some people, especially people who are very materialistic, and I think people have that misconception about you because you're not at all materialist. You love nice things, but you're just as free to let them go or to pass them on. I wish more people would see that, you know, we're here, we don't have any guarantees in this life. There's anything we can take with us. So things don't provide that comfort, just like providing hateful words or saying cruel things to somebody else won't make you any happier inside and won't make you any bigger of a person to put somebody else down.
Yeah. Right. And that's why I look at people when they do those hurtful things to people. I'm like, how is that benefiting you? Like, does that make you better than me because you're able to hurt my feelings or what? I don't know.
Yeah, you got to wonder if there isn't some anger or hurt that's going on in their life that they're pushing out. They can't keep it anymore, so they push it out onto others. It's sort of like, I've been marginalized, so therefore I must marginalize someone else. Yeah, I remember in psychology, we had a class that would say that people have this need to sort of look down, that are looked down on, to look down on someone else to sort of equalize the playing field. Like, okay, you can look down on me, but I look down on them.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Well, I guess the takeaway here is just that, you know, I think more laws have to get passed. And I think maybe the more the laws get passed and the laws get stiffer, then maybe people will start taking this more seriously. You know, I To me, that's my answer, but
mine is, if you have a bully, contact Teresa. She'll put them in their place. She will tell them how much she pities them, that they're stupid. Got a bully. We'll come back. We'll be like your fighting duo, fighting crime. I'll have a cape, like cyber bully defender. Call us. We'll defend you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for having a fun podcast with me today. This was a great topic. Love it, love it, love it. So with that said, I hope everyone has a great rest of the week. Make sure you get out there and find me on social media. I am everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Michael's out there too. Just look for him, Michael Pierce. We're out there, partners in crime. And make sure you find my YouTube channel and subscribe, because my videos are just off the charts amazing. So with that said, thanks once again, Michael, and I hope you all have a great rest of the week.